भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। वाञ्छाकल्पतरूभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानाम पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हुकम करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघायते गिरिं यत्कृपातं हम वंदे श्रीगुरून् दीनतारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्यमीश्वरं। हरे कृष्णा। So first of all, I beg to beg your pardon and beg that you'll excuse me for sitting over here. Today was His Grace Trikalagya Prabhu's class, but yesterday evening he called up to Jyotir, what's his name? Divya Jyoti Prabhu, and told him that he cannot give class. So unfortunately, for you unfortunately, I'm sitting here. So please bless me so that I can speak something on this purport. And today is also Lochan Das Thakur's appearance day. So we'll be concluding with that, little bit touching on that. There are not much of detail I could find in such a short time on Lochan Das Thakur. So something we'll be relating with this. So today's verses are 26, 27, 28th with purport. 26 has a short purport, so I requested him to give me 28th shloka, which has a very nice purport. So I'll go through the 26th and 27th translation, and then we'll go to the 28th. This is 8th canto, 9th chapter, chapter entitled The Lord Incarnates as Mohini Murti, verse 26. Translation: Rahu's head, however, having been touched by the nectar, became immortal. Thus Lord Brahma accepted Rahu's head as one of the planets. Since Rahu is an eternal enemy of the moon and the sun, he always tries to attack them on the nights of the full moon and the dark moon. Purport: Since Rahu had become immortal, Lord Brahma accepted him as one of the grahas or planets, like the moon and the sun. Rahu, however, being an eternal enemy of the moon and sun, attacks them periodically during the nights of the full moon and the dark moon. Verse 27, translation: The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the best friend and well-wisher of the three worlds. Thus, when the demigods had almost finished drinking the nectar, the Lord, in the presence of all the demons, disclosed His original form. And once verse 28 is on the board. Before we recite this, it's a very beautiful, so that you can get into the mood, or we can get into the mood, I'll translate it in my own words. The first sentence says, Evam surasurganaha samdesha kala hetu artha karma matyo api phale vikalpaha. Vikalpa means opposite. So the two, sur and asur, the demigods and the demons, both had the same six things. Same desh means the place where they were performing, that was common to them. Kala, they were doing at the same time, same activity, karma. Second last is karma. Hetu, Hetu means the desire with which they are doing or the cause, and the earth for which they were doing. Karma and Matiyo, their ambition were same, exactly the same. What was the ambition? Materialistic ambition. Both wanted name, fame, prestige. Both wanted to become Amar or immortal just for the rule of the three worlds. But Tatramrutam Surganaha Phalam Anjasa. Pur. Anjasa means completely. Proper translation is completely or quickly. So Anjasapur, they achieved. Who achieved? Suragana. Surgana means the demigods achieved Amrut. And the demons did not achieve Amrut. And the last sentence gives the reason. Why? Yat pada pankacharaja shrayanan. The demigods had taken the shelter of the dust of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And the demons were obstinately not taking the shelter. Now, very interesting. We'll go through the purport. Before we go through the purport, what we are going to discuss is the distinction between a vikarmi, then a karmi, the higher stage, same living entity. Okay, remember, we are talking about living entity. In Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita starts with, we are not this body, but soul. So the premises of discussion for anything in devotional service is that we are not this body. So the first part of my presentation will be the distinction between a vikarmi, who becomes a vikarmi, and then he's the same person becomes a pure devotee. What is the difference between them? And the second part will be the wonderful qualities, second part of the presentation, wonderful qualities of devotional service you can take, or you can name it as wonderful qualities of the relationship, the sweet relationship, or the sweet way of reciprocation of the Supreme Lord with his pure devotees, which bewilders neophytes like me, and moreover, it bewilders the karmis or those who are just hardcore materialistic, whether demons or demigods. They get bewildered how Krishna acts with his devotees. And what it is, all devotees, if we see, are miserable. Pandavas went through a lot of miseries externally. Internally, I'm not talking about. Internally, we'll discuss. Haridas Thakur went through an enormous amount of difficulties. Kunti Maharani went through enormous amount of difficulties. This bewilders people. And why Krishna bewilders, we'll discuss that. Okay, so please repeat and recite after me. Evam sura surganaha samadesh kala. Hetvartha karma matayo pifale vikalpaha. Tatramrutam surganaha phalamanja sapur. Yat pad pankajarajah shrayanan daityah. What to word meaning? Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Maharaj ki jai. Evam, thus, sura, the demigods, asurganaha, and the demons, sama, equal, desh, place, kal, time, hetu, cause, arth, objective, karma, activities, matayah, ambitions, api, although one, phale, in the result, vikalpaha, not equal, tatra, thereupon, amrutam, nectar, surganaha, the demigods, phalam, the result, anjasa, easily, totally, or directly, apuhu, achieved, yat, because of, pad pankaja, of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, rajaha, of the saffron dust, shrayanat, because of receiving benedictions or taking shelter. Na, not. Daityaha, the demons. Translation, the place, the time, the cause, the purpose, the activity and the ambition were all the same for both the demigods and the demons. But the demigods achieved one result and the demons another. Because the demigods are always under the shelter of the dust of the Lord's lotus feet, they could very easily drink the nectar and get its result. The demons, however, not having sought shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, were unable to achieve the result they desired. Purport? In Bhagavad Gita 4.11, it is said, Ye yatha mam prapadyante tam stathaiva bhajamyaham. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Judge who rewards or punishes different persons according to their surrender unto His lotus feet. Therefore, it can actually be seen that although karmis and bhaktas may work in the same place, at the same time, with the same energy and with the same ambition, they achieve different results. The karmis transmigrate through different bodies in the cycle of birth and death. Sometimes, remember, what Prabhupada is talking, whom Prabhupada is talking about is karmis, not vikarmis. Just so that you understand purport better, those who are new, there are some faces who are new also. Karmis means one who is obedient to the Shastric rules and regulations, who follows the Vedas. A vikarmi is disobedient. He works independently, like most people in the world today. Whether India, America, Japan, whichever place you go, most people have no inkling what the Shastras talk about. Whether, take Christians, they don't know what Bible is, who wrote Bible, what are Bible's injunctions. You take Hindus don't know what is Bhagavad Gita and what is Bhagavatam, the difference between them. Full number 1, 2, 3, 10. Okay. First shloka of Bhagavad Gita, no Hindu knows. I am a Hindu, just for writing's sake. But what is Bhagavad Gita? Don't keep Bhagavad Gita. So many times people say, don't purchase Bhagavad Gita, we should not keep Bhagavad Gita at home. Why? It's inauspicious. Wow, what a Hindu. Anyways, and Muslim, they don't know anything about what is Quran. Who is Allah? Forget it. Now there is only one religion. What is that? Money and sex. That's it. Two religion, morning till evening, night, sleeping or waking. Two religion only. Money, and that gives us sense gratification of all sorts, and the highest sense gratification is sex life. That's it. So Prabhupada is talking about karmis who are obedient to the laws of nature, who are obedient to the Shastric principles or Krishna's principles. But here, again, what happens to karmis? Though they are obedient to Krishna's laws of material nature, they try to follow, but they are not fully surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, it can actually be seen that although karmis and bhaktas may work in the same place, at the same time, with the same energy and with the same ambition, they achieve different results. The karmis transmigrate through different bodies in the cycle of birth and death, sometimes going upward and sometimes downward, thus suffering the results of their actions in the karma chakra, the cycle of birth and death. The devotees, however, because of fully surrendering at the lotus feet of the Lord, mind Prabhupada's words, fully surrendering at the lotus feet of the Lord, are never baffled in their attempts. Although externally they work almost like the karmis, the devotees go back home, back to Godhead, and achieve success in every effort. The demons or atheists, now note this also, we are going to discuss, in every effort, what does that mean? In every effort, is it true? We'll discuss. And what exactly? Prabhupada cannot be false when he's saying in every effort. Okay, going back home, back to Godhead, but in every effort? That's a little thing to think about. The demons or atheists have faith in their own endeavors, but although they work very hard day and night, they cannot get any more than their destiny. The devotees, however, can surpass the reactions of karma and achieve wonderful results even without effort. It is also said, Falena Parichiyate. One's success or defeat in any activity is understood by its result. There are many karmis in the dress of devotees. Note again this sentence. What I am asking you to note, we are going to discuss on that. There are many karmis in the dress of devotees, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead can detect their purpose. The karmis want to use the property of the Lord for their selfish sense gratification, but a devotee endeavors to use the Lord's property for God's service. Therefore, a devotee is always distinct from the karmis, although the karmis may dress like devotees. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 3.9, yajñārthāt karmaṇo netra loko yam karma vandanaḥ, one who works for Lord Vishnu is free from this material world, and after giving up his body, he goes back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna, kripa karke shanti banaye rakhe. A karmi, however, although externally working like a devotee, is entangled in his non-devotional activity, and thus he suffers the tribulations of material existence. Thus, from the results achieved by the karmis and devotees, one can understand the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who acts differently for the karmis and jnanis than for the devotees. This is also very interesting. By the difference of action, the result which is achieved by karmis, jnanis and devotees, we can understand the presence of the Supreme Person. We can perceive that Krishna is present. Because Krishna is a living entity, and a living entity has feelings. So one who loves him more, he loves him more. One who doesn't love him so much, he doesn't love. One who hates him, Krishna also hates him. You should not think Krishna is just a stone. We come and stand in front of him, he has no feelings. He feels pain, he feels joy, and when he feels pain, he can give us pain. If he feels pain, he'll definitely give us pain, though he loves us. But he has feelings. Thus, from the results achieved by the karmis and devotees, one can understand the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who acts differently for the karmis and jnanis than for the devotees. The author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita therefore says, Krishna bhakta nishkam atta eva shanta bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakaliya shanta. The karmis who desire sense gratification, the jnanis who aspire for the liberation of merging into the existence of the Supreme, and the yogis who seek material success in mystic power are all restless, and ultimately they are baffled. But the devotee who does not expect any personal benefit and whose only ambition is to spread the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is blessed with all the auspicious results of Bhakti Yoga without hard labor. Srila Prabhupada Maharaj ki jai. It is such a beautiful purport. It tells exactly what we are supposed to do. So, starting with this, the shloka talks about, the shloka puts devotees in the demigods into the category of devotees. Now, see the difference between the purport and the shloka. The shloka puts demigods as devotees, but the purport doesn't talk about demigods as devotees. Whenever Prabhupada uses most of the time, when Prabhupada uses devotees, or Shastras use devotees, devotees means a pure devotee. A complete nishkinchan bhakta who wants nothing of this material world. He has nothing. He is done with this material world. Nirveda lakshan uplabdhi. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songbook, which is that? Gita. One songbook. The last part of that songbook is the last part of songs, means the series of songs. It's titled as Nirveda lakshan uplabdhi. Nirveda lakshan means one who is disgusted with this material world. Complete disgust. Doesn't want anything. Not even a pinch. Not even a stone. Nothing of this world. That person is a devotee. He sometimes may seem to be frustrated. And that is the Prabhupada in one lecture. He says, the qualification for going back home, back to Godhead, is that you should be frustrated with this material world. Then there is a question. Frustrated, but Bhagavad Gita says, su sukham kartum avyayam. That means what? It means that su sukham kartum avyayam is on the transcendental platform, not on the material platform. When a devotee sees people not concentrating on the Supreme Personality of God, he gets disgusted. He doesn't like this world. And that's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written, Ore man bhalo nahi lage samsar. Ore man bhalo nahi lage samsar. Very simple. Any Hindi speaking person can understand. That this material world, I don't like this material world. Wherever I go, the same thing. The same janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi. which is the reason for which is no meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, when Prabhupada talks in the purport, Prabhupada is talking about karmis who are all the demigods. He's not, in the purport, he's not touching the demons at all. In one part only he touches, but mostly he's talking about karmis, which is actually Indra is a karmi. And we can see that. In his, we'll see the incidents of Rudrasur we'll be discussing about. So the difference between Rudrasur and Indra, there we'll distinguish between what is a devotee and what is a karmi, or a half devotee. A devotee who is having material desires, but he fulfills his material desires by taking shelter of the Supreme Lord, who is more dear to Krishna. And who won the battle, actually, between Vritrasura and Indra? When Indra and Vritrasura were fighting, remember, two devotees were fighting. Both were devotees. And the question is, who won the battle? And the purport says something, Vritrasura says something, and we have to read between the lines what Vritrasura is saying, who won the battle. Before that, in this purport, when Prabhupada is saying, there are many karmis in the dress of devotees. This I want to stress a little bit. What it means. See, we very easily, as ISKCONites or ISKCON devotees, we very easily say, and whenever we say karmis, we talk about people outside ISKCON. But actually, if we have intelligently understood Bhagavad Gita, open-heartedly, they are not karmis. When we were outside ISKCON, we were not karmis. When we were not following the four regulatory principles, we were not even vikarmis actually. We were subhumans. Because four regulatory principles are not even broken by the animals. We were not even humans. Not even subhumans. We were ghostly people. And Prabhupada says, see those people outside are ghostly. An animal doesn't break the regulatory principle of gambling. Does he? No, gambles. A fool will gamble. Everyone knows gambling is useless. An animal doesn't drink wine. Wine drinking, it's useless. Completely useless. Completely bogus. Okay. And other two regulatory principles, that also they don't break actually. That's how they live. Those animals which eat, those who eat meat, they eat meat by default. And those who don't eat meat, they don't eat meat. That's it. But humans have bigger brain. They eat meat also and non-meat also, means vegetarian also. So that's why what we were ghostly people. And when we come into ISKCON, if we have material desires and we are following four regulatory principles, first we become human beings. Okay, now I'm a human. Second, we become demigods. Our destiny will be in some higher planetary systems, or in this planetary system only, earthly planetary system, but in rich family, that's all. But going back home, back to Godhead, that's not a cheap task. That's really requires a lot of concentration, lot of meditation on the Supreme Lord, on the benefit of the Supreme Lord. Our whole being should be for the benefit of the Supreme Lord. But a karmi, when he goes on with these pious credits, he doesn't break the regulatory principles, he is generating pious credits. He is chanting the holy names, then he is creating pious credits. Right now the chanting of the holy names is for material desires. Anything it could be. It could be post and position, it could be safety in ISKCON, it could be remaining a brahmachari throughout life, a hardcore brahmachari. By remaining a hardcore brahmachari throughout life, we can at most become Brahma. That's what Bhagavatam says. That doesn't make us go, doesn't take us back home, back to Godhead. Or a good grihastha, a renowned person in ISKCON, a famous devotee. Okay, throughout life I'm wearing dhoti kurta. Now, 60 years back, if you see Dilip Kumar's movies, in India there was a famous Dilip Kumar hero. 60 years back, say 70 years back, all over India, even in Delhi and Bombay, people were wearing dhoti kurta. It was a normal dress. Nobody was wearing a pant shirt. That happened only after independence, and that also 20 years after independent India, that we started wearing pant shirt. And now also you go to Maharashtra, many places people are wearing dhoti kurta. So wearing sari doesn't make us devotees. This misunderstanding we should remove from our heart. That, how we judge. Chaitanya Charitamrita says, judge a devotee, what kind of a devotee he is, by how many devotees he has made. I made 50, I have preached to 50 people and brought them to ISKCON. I have not made them devotees. I only made them wear dhoti kurta, wear tilak, which is good looking actually. We look smart in dhoti kurta and tilak, and hair is not there, then we don't look old. Right? So it's clean way of living. That's all Prabhupada said, it's a clean way of living. That's all. So that's not a devotee, that's only karmi. I'm not talking about all of you, but I am only a karmi. Now there are karmis of different grades, and sometimes Krishna makes them fight amongst themselves so that a pure devotee can go back home, back to Godhead. So that a segregation comes between karmis of different grades. Sometimes a pure devotee, who are very rare, pure devotional service is extremely rare, and pure devotees are very rare. Pure devotees get mixed up with karmis, and we are not able to segregate them. An instance, Srila Prabhupada, when he was in Gaudiya Math, many times the god brothers of Prabhupada went to Bhaktivedanta Saraswati and told, Guru Maharaj, ask Abhay Babu, he is helping us so much in our preaching effort, ask him to work with us, ask him to become a full-time devotee, make him president of Gaudiya Math, some of the Maths. And Bhaktivedanta Saraswati said, no, leave him alone. Right now, I don't want him to mix up with you. When time will come, he'll do everything. Why Bhaktivedanta Saraswati didn't want Prabhupada to make some? Because then we'll see Prabhupada also similar to others. I'm not offensive to anyone, but we can go through the conversation of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada doesn't speak so well about his god brothers. Anyways, Prabhupada said they did not do what my Guru Maharaj wanted them to do. And when Mayapur temple was building, Prabhupada was on fire. Prabhupada said, you are American disciples. You are American people. You should do big things. So big that my god brothers should become envious of me. Now, is Prabhupada envious of his god brothers? No. Prabhupada wants to inspire everyone. Come on. Go back home, back to Godhead. Concentrate on Krishna. Concentrate on pure, uncontaminated preaching. Preaching which is not inspired by name, fame, prestige. Preaching not to become big oneself, but preaching to become a transparent via media so that people see Krishna more clearly through your speech. Krishna, they come to know about the qualities of Krishna more clearly. For that reason, preach. And this is like in the spiritual world. Devotees want to catch Krishna. One devotee runs faster than another devotee. Only to inspire the other devotees, you run faster than me. That was Prabhupada's mentality. Prabhupada was a devotee like Prabhupada is never envious of any living entity. What to talk about his own god brothers. So, now, but to segregate them, Krishna sometimes has some very interesting pastimes. And one of the pastimes is Vritrasur. Segregate a devotee, a pure devotee, from karmis or from this world. And to glorify that devotee, Krishna creates such pastimes. And this is from the sixth canto. It's a very interesting pastime. What happened was, Vritrasura's elder brother what was his name? Vishwaroop. And Vishwaroop was selected as a priest by Indra. Now, we are talking about demigods. That's why I took this pastime. So that we come to know clearly, the demigods, though this shloka on board, says that the demigods got nectar because they were under the shelter of the lotus feet, of the dust of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. But now, these same demigods were with Vritrasura. And Vritrasura, and we see, they are not actually under the shelter. They are under the shelter, as compared to the daityas. But not exactly. They haven't taken full surrender of the Supreme Lord. Full surrender will have a completely different repercussion or different result, which we'll see in this pastime. So what happened? Indra selected Vishwaroop to be his priest, and he was doing sacrifices. So a priest is also considered as the spiritual master of the person for whom the priest performs sacrifices. So Vritrasura had relationship with both the demigods and with the demons. So while performing the sacrifice, he was also offering, he was offering oblations in the fire for the demigods, as well as secretly he was offering oblations to the demons, because he had both the relationship. And this was detected by Indra, and Indra immediately lost his temper. He took the sword, beheaded him like a butcher. And after that, then the father of Vishwaroop, Tushta, became very angry. He performed a sacrifice, out of which came Vritrasura. Vritrasura was supposed to be the enemy of Indra, but because the mantras were not pronounced properly, Vritrasura was supposed to be killed, was supposed to be the killer of Indra, but the mantras were pronounced in this way, in such a way, by fault, that Indra became the enemy of Vritrasura, or Indra became the killer of Vritrasura. Then Vritrasura came up. Vritrasura was very angry, very fierce. The whole world started trembling. And then Vritrasura went out to fight with Indra. And what happened there was very interesting. First, Vritrasura demolished almost the whole army of Indra. Then Vritrasura started attacking Indra. At the end, Vritrasura threw his trident. And by the trident, the elephant, Gajendra, the elephant of Airavat, the elephant of Indra, he went 20 miles. He went 20 miles away, and Indra fell down. And that time, Vritrasura started speaking. And what he spoke is very, very interesting. And this we'll take. Very interesting. First, Vritrasura said, "Come on, Indra, get up, fight with me. If you don't fight, I'm going to kill you. And now my sharp trident will pierce your heart. You, Indra, you are so abominable that you killed a Brahmana, you killed a self-realized, sinless Brahmana, you killed your own spiritual master, you killed all your good qualities are gone because of that. And now, when I pierce your heart with my trident, I'll be paying off my debt to my brother. Oh Indra, you are so abominable." See the dialogues, huh? Note these dialogues. I have tried to memorize them. And then we'll come to these dialogues, the first three, four dialogues. There, Prabhupada doesn't write any purport, because he's just like a king or just like a warrior. He said, "You are so abominable, O Indra, that you, when I kill you, you will die of great pain, and you are so abominable that fire will refuse to touch your body. Only the vultures will eat you. And you are so abominable that even the man-eater Rakshasas won't eat you. Only the vultures are going to eat you. And O Indra, you are shameless, you are merciless, you are only a butcher. And that's why you are condemned in all respects." And then he says, "But if you are able to kill me, atho hare me kulishena veera harta pramathyaiva shiro yadiha." O Indra, if you are able to kill me, and you are able to behead me and kill all my army, destroy all my army, what will happen to me? Harta pramathyaiva shiro tatranuno bhuta balim vadhaya. I'll be able to pay off my debt to the vultures. My body will be eaten by the vultures, and I'll get the pious credit of giving service to the vultures. And moreover, what I'll get? Manasvinam padarajaha prapatse. I'll get the dust of the lotus feet of Manasvinam. Manasvinam are people like Narad Muni who are constantly thinking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'll get their lotus feet. Next he says, this Prabhupada says, these Manasvis, if one gets the lotus feet of Manasvis, then we are able to get liberated from this material world. Without getting the dust from the lotus feet of great devotees, the Purvarti Acharyas, we cannot get liberation. We should just forget it. Chhadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistar Paye Chekeva. In this purport he says. Then next he says, Suresh Kasma Nahino Shivajram. O Suresh, O Sur Ish, Oh, the leader of the demigods, Indra, why don't you kill me? Why don't you hit me with your vajra? Don't you know? Purahasthite vairine mayamogham. Don't you see that your vairi, your enemy is standing in front of you? And don't you realize that what you are having in your hand, the vajra, has the benediction of the Supreme Lord, and that's why it's amogham. It will never be baffled. And that's why Masam Shayeshtha Nagede Gadeva Vajra. Oh Indra, in our battle right now, your gada, when you threw your gada, I could just destroy your gada and throw that gada back on your elephant's head. But don't think that this will happen now. Now Prabhupada writes purport, see the difference between a devotee and this devotee is ready to get killed. He has so much faith that because the vajra has been benedicted by the Supreme Lord, the vajra won't fail. And Indra, you're saying, Vritrasura was not in the presence of the Supreme Lord when the Lord gave vajra or asked to make vajra out of Dadichi's bones to Indra. Vritrasura was not present. Vritrasura only got the information from somewhere. And he believed it, that because the Supreme Lord has given it, it will be invincible. But Indra on the other side, being a karmi, being a mixed devotee, a devotee with material desires, he doubted, oh, if I throw this vajra, this is my last weapon. If I throw this vajra and this also fails to kill him, then what will happen? Then I'll be killed, so save this. Somehow I'll kill him from behind. Prabhupada writes purport that this is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. Or a semi-devotee. Ma samshayishtha nagadeva vajra syan nishvalha kripna arthe yachna. And there he gives an example that don't doubt this vajra will fail. Don't doubt that this vajra is going to fail. Just like you may feel that sometimes we go to a very miserly person and ask for some charity and he is not able to give us charity. That won't happen. Krishna is not such a miser. When you ask Krishna for a benediction, when Krishna benedicts you, or Krishna's devotees benedict you, it can never fail, O Indra. This is very interesting. Then he says, Nannesha vajras tava shakra tejasa harer dadhiche stapsa cha tejita. Don't you know, Indra, that this vajra was given to you by the Supreme Lord and has the power of the austerities of Dadhichi Muni? Still you are doubting? See, amazing. What a sentence. He's about to be dead, he's about to be killed, and what he's saying, don't you understand? You have to kill me, come on. Tenaiva shatrum jahi Vishnu yantrito, and he says, come on, you kill your enemy, come on. Are we going to say that like that to a devotee, to an enemy of us? Come on, kill me, come on. He's saying, you come on, kill me. And Vishnu Yantrito, what he's saying? Because you have the appliance given by the Vishnu Yantra. And wherever Vishnu is, Yato Harir, Vijaya, Shrir, Gunastataha, because Vishnu has sided with you, O Indra, now you are going to get three things. Vijay, you are going to be victorious, not me. Shrir, see the difference. First he was saying, O Indra, I am going to kill you. And now he's saying, is suddenly changed. He's saying, you are going to get Vijay, Shrir, and Gunas. All the good qualities of this material world. And then he says, what will happen to me? This is very interesting. See this. This is amazing. You please try to repeat after me. Aham samadhaya mano yathahanaha sankarshanastat Charanarvinde Tvadvajra Ramho Lulitagramya Pasho Gatim Muniryami Apavidha Lokaha. He says, you are going to get this material world, you are going to get the three worlds, three lokas of this, three planetary systems to rule, O Indra, but what I am going to get? Aham samadhaya mano yathanah. Sankarshana, Lord Sankarshana or Lord Balaram, had told Vritrasura in his previous life as Chitraketu that you are going to get the shelter of my lotus feet. And he remembers that. He says, Aham samadhaya mano yathahana. As Sankarshan had told me previously, I am now going to meditate. Sankarshanastat charnarvinde. I'm going to strongly meditate on Lord Balaram's lotus feet. And now Indra, now is the time. You please kill me. Because I am meditating on Lord's lotus feet. So if I get killed at this time, I'll go back home, back to Godhead. So you now, tad vajra ramho, and by your, because it is Vishnu Yantra, because it is given by Lord Vishnu, when you kill me with your vajra, lulit gram me pasho, my material attachment, if they are there at all, remaining in my heart, they will also be cut. And then, gatim munir yami, apavidha lokah, I'll reject this material world, and my aeroplane, my spacecraft will go, and go back home, back to Godhead. So Indra, please kill me now. Get up, kill me. So this is very interesting. And now he goes through more prayers. But here I will change the subject now. Not change the subject, but the last part. How to achieve this level? Whatever level we are on, we have to come to this level where we call for our death when we are meditating on the Supreme Lord. And there, in the Ajamil section, how to come to this level is given. What I was about to say was, Prabhupada quotes Maharaj Kulshekar many places. Krishna Twadiya Pada Pankajara. What is that? Krishna Twadiya Pada Pankajara. Panjarantam adyaiva me vishatumanasa rajahamsa prayana kale samaya kafavata pittau kantha varodhana vidhau smaranam kutaste. That, O Lord, at the time of death it will be very difficult to concentrate on you. My throat will be choked with cough and bile. So your holy names won't come out clearly. And my mind will be bewildered because of painful condition. And in Ajamil section, Prabhupada quotes this. Ajamil, at the end, Shukdev Goswami, after the pastime ends, then Shukdev Goswami says that what Ajamil did, what Ajamil achieved, we can also achieve. He says, Miryamano Hare Nama Grunan Putropacharitam. This Ajamil took the name of the Supreme Lord, chanted the name of the Supreme Lord only to call his son. But Ajamilopiya Gadhama, still, even just calling for his son, he was not actually calling the Supreme Lord. Still, what he achieved is to go back home, back to Godhead. Then, Kim Utshadhyagranan. Then, if a person throughout his life chants with faith and love, won't he go back home, back to Godhead? And Prabhupada's purport is very interesting. Prabhupada says, at the time of death, it will be very difficult. Because of painful condition, we will be bewildered. And it will be very difficult to chant the holy names distinctly. But if somebody chants the holy names throughout his life, there is good possibility that at the end also, he'll be able to chant. Therefore, when we are fit, why we should not chant the holy names? Now, two words Prabhupada uses. Why we should not chant the holy names of the Lord loudly and distinctly. I want to emphasize on this. Loud and distinct. There are many seminars devotees take on chanting, mechanical chanting. Prabhupada never took seminars on mechanical chanting. But in the in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in one purport, Prabhupada says, sometimes there is a hissing sound while chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, and Prabhupada specifies, especially while chanting Krishna, there is hissing sound. And this shows that the mind has wandered away. And that is mechanical chanting. If a person is chanting honestly, he may not be thinking about the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. But if he is chanting honestly and he is not dozing off in his chanting, that means he has bhava. He may not have the highest bhav, but he has bhav which is going forward. And that is not mechanical chanting, that is chanting with bhav. And he is going forward. If he is studying Prabhupada's books every day, studying these pastimes every day, then he is cultivating that higher bhav, higher and higher bhav. And this, Prabhupada says, if one chants distinctly and loudly, then there is great number of possibility that even at the time of death, he'll be able to chant properly with faith and love. And in conclusion, Prabhupada says, in conclusion, anyone who chants throughout his life is guaranteed to go back home, back to Godhead, which should be the ideal purpose of our life. And this quality of chanting every day, even as a karmi, this quality of chanting every day gradually takes us forward. And chanting is of two types. One is chanting of the holy names, another is chanting of Srimad Bhagavatam. And doesn't mean chanting of Srimad Bhagavatam just the shlokas, but chanting of Srimad Bhagavatam with translation and purport. Because Prabhupada's translations are also purports. This is my personal understanding. I many times went through other translations, and Prabhupada's translations are completely different. Many times Prabhupada doesn't write exactly the word meaning. But if you see the whole translation, then it fits in properly. So Prabhupada's translations are also purport. And if we cannot memorize the shlokas in Sanskrit, we should memorize Prabhupada's translations in English or Hindi or Bengali, whichever language is suitable for us. And that takes us to the higher level of becoming a pure devotee who calls for death. He says, death, please come. Right now I am fit and I am chanting properly. And come at that time of the day when I am standing in front of the Lord and meditating on Him. And right now somebody should come and kill me. Some bomb should come. Not when I'm thinking about death. When my body is getting weak. It's my personal understanding, my personal realization in life. When miseries come, in my life at least, when difficulties come, any bodily pain, my concentration on the Lord goes away. I'm more bodily conscious. It's good to pray like Kunti Maharani, Vipdhasantuta Shashwat Tattar Jagat Guru. One time Bhakti Tirth Maharaj gave a lecture like that, and then he said, so how many devotees will pray to the Supreme Lord like that? And devotees raised hand very boldly. Oh, I'll pray. And he said, now it's between you and Krishna. Don't blame me, okay? You have raised your hand. Now Krishna, whatever he does, it could be very heavy with you. And that's why Prabhupada one time, he told one devotee, yeah, it's good prayer, but we should pray even according to our level. Like Gajendra, when Gajendra prays, Ekantino yasya na kanchan artham vanchanti evai bhagavat prapannaha. He says, O Lord, your great devotees who are akinchan bhakta, they ati adbhutam tat charitam sumangalam. They are constantly glorifying your ati adbhut charitam. Your glorious pastimes, your amazing qualities, where you are amazingly, sometimes ridiculously acting with your devotee like Vrittasur. It's ridiculous. Chitraketu Maharaj did so many penances for the Supreme Lord, and as he made him Vrittasur, come on, that doesn't make sense. The Supreme Lord treating his devotee like that, and then getting him killed by a lower devotee, Indra. So, but ati adbhutam chatta charitam sumangalam. They constantly glorify your pastimes, O Lord. But for me, Gajendra says, for me, I am not on that level. My Lord, please save me from this crocodile. So we should know where we are. We should not boast unnecessarily in front of the Lord, because the Lord is sitting here and He knows what we are. We should be like an open book in front of the Lord. Lord, this is me, but please accept me. If you don't accept me, what will happen to me? There's a very nice prayer. With this we'll end. Please recite after me. This is to Lord Chaitanya. Kalaha kalir balina indriya vairi vargaha. Okay, I'll go half. Kalaha kalir balina indriya vairi vargaha. Shri bhakti margaha iha kantaka koti ruddhaha. This is half part. He says, Kalaha Kalir, O Lord, this time is of Kali. And Kali is of all bad qualities within each individual, including myself. Kalaha Kalir, Balina Indriya Vairi Varga. And because of this Kali Raj, this Indriyas have become very powerful. They take me away from devotional service. They make me do some abominable things. They make me think abominably. Kala kale balina indriya vairi vargaha shri bhakti margaha. On this path, the divine path of bhakti, bhakti margaha, iha kantakaha koti ruddha. Kantaka means thorns. This path has become thorn pricked because of these vices of Kali. And that's why, O Lord, Shri Kalaha Kalirbalina Indriya Vairi Vargaha Shri Bhakti Margahya Kantaka Koti Ruddhaha Ha Ha Kwayami Ha Ha Kwayami Ha Ha Kwayami Viklaha Ha Ha Kwayami Viklaha Chaitanya Chandra Yadinadya Kripam Karoshi. And that's why, ha ha, oh my Lord, I'm calling for your help. If you don't become merciful upon me and you don't save me from the torments inflicted by these vices of my own senses and mind, then what will happen to me? I cannot follow this path of devotional service. So Lord, please make my life simpler, make it easier for me to follow process of devotional service. In the fifth canto also, where Bali Maharaj, which is going on right now in Hindi class, in the fifth canto where Bali Maharaj is benedicted by the Supreme Lord, there Prabhupada says, sometimes the Lord becomes very, very, very merciful upon a devotee and he makes him very opulent. Why? He gives him wealth of this material world. Why? So that he can worship him. He can follow the process of devotional service easily and opulently. So we... At least I pray like that to the Supreme Lord. Lord, please make me wealthy. Though this dress is for becoming a beggar, so that I can do it very easily. And especially wealthy in heart. So that these vices don't remain. These, like Prahlad Maharaj says, my senses are like six wives. And six wives take you. One wife catches you from this hand. One wife catches you this hand. Here, here. They are pulling you and you are getting torn. So please, my Lord, control these vices, these wives of mine, and take them to you. Let them surrender to you, and let me go back home. Let me come back to you. So with that, I'll end. I'm sorry if I took more time, and sorry, Prithu Prabhu. I'm sorry. And so we'll end here. If there is one question, maybe. No managers are sitting, but... So I'll take advantage of that. Any question is there? One question we can take? Or any corrections? Nothing? So your blessings are there on me? Yes, Prabhu. Oh, Prabhuji is saying, staying in a family and doing worldly things, how can we become a devotee? This is a very big misunderstanding, especially in India, that a family man is not a devotee. Devotee means chanting Hare Krishna. When you tell a new person, chant Hare Krishna, oh, humko kya Baba ji banana hai kya? Should we leave home and join you? No, the whole of Bhagavatam, there are only 2, 3, 4, 5 Chaturkumaras, Narad Muni. Only 5 devotees who are Babaji's. All other are Grihasthas. Everyone. How many wives Arjun had? 3. 3 wives. Okay. So having a wife, having children, doing worldly things is no problem. Prabhupada writes in this purport, a karmi and a devotee may do the same thing, but it's the matter of consciousness. Consciousness is this I am doing, why I am doing. Of course, in livelihood there should be honesty. This is emphasized by Brahmaji in the 10th canto. A devotee who is honestly earning his livelihood and chanting his holy names and taking wherever, in whichever position, see, whether you are a grahastha or a brahmachari or a sannyasi, you are a grahastha. Why? Because one graha we are living in. This body is a graha. Okay. So we are all entangled in this body. And our karma will run after us. Say, I did not go into the grahastha ashram just to be free from responsibilities and free from headaches. No, that doesn't happen. My karma comes with me. As a brahmachari, I'll have the same kind of difficulties. Even in dream, sometimes Prabhupada says, a person has murdered somebody. In dream, he'll get same amount of pain. In 1 hour, he'll get same amount of pain which will come if you actually are killed by a revolver or stabbed. So our karma comes with us. It's only an excuse. Baba, I am only a grihastha, I cannot do devotional service. Where there is way, there is the will, is the way. If you are a grihastha, but you want to achieve Krishna, and a brahmachari who doesn't want to achieve Krishna, who is better? A grihastha is better. Durvasa Muni and Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish Maharaj came to Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni was very much attached. Durvasa Muni, thank you, was a Babaji. Completely renounced person. But was he renounced? No. He had such a big ego. He wanted to conquer over Ambarish Maharaj. He wanted to prove that I am a renunciant. You are smaller than me. Krishna doesn't like that. Krishna wants renunciation inside. What is the first shloka of the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita? Where Krishna says, one who doesn't light fire is not a yogi. What is that? Anashritaha karma phalam karyam karma karotiha sa sanyasi cha yogi cha na niragna na chakriya. Krishna is amazingly bold. And Krishna cuts us off. Don't show me, he says in this shloka, he says, don't show me your saffron dress, okay? Don't show me your 4 dandas. I can create so many dandas and break them. There are so many sannyasis who have fallen down to just the flicking, the eyebrows, this movement of the eyebrows of a woman. Don't show me that. Show me how much you love me, wherever you are. And that love is a different thing. It's a completely different thing. Oh Lord, wherever you put me, I'm going to... What is love? I'm partially defining it. Wherever you put me, whatever you do with me, my Lord, I'm not going to stop coming to your temple out of shame. Say, I'm following the 4 regulatory principles right from childhood. Okay. Tomorrow, if I happen to break all the 4 regulatory principles, still, my Lord, I promise you, I'm going to come in front of you shamelessly. And I'm going to chant your holy names. Even if people tell me, Sab chuhe khake buldi hajiko chali. Baba, you are just removing, by chanting the holy names, you are just showing off that you can do all nonsense. You are committing the 7th offense. What is that? 7th? Naam ke bal par paap karna? 7th, right? 7th offense to the holy name. Okay, devotees may say whatever they want to say. My saffron may go, my danda may go, my everything may go. But I'll chant the holy names. That's my promise. That's a devotee. And he'll be very pleasing to the Supreme Lord. And these are actual tests of a devotee. Because Garudji, if we say 4 regulatory principles is a devotee, Garudji is not following the 4 regulatory principles. What is his staple diet? Snakes and fishes. He's a devotee. Vyasdev, we say 4 regular principles. Vyasdev, when he begot children, he was a renounced person. And he was called to impregnate the wives and just go away. Not get married, just go away. Impregnate them, wives of his brothers, and go away. That's it. He did it. So 4 regulatory principles just make us human being so that we can come to the mode of goodness, and then we can understand these subtle realities of Krishna consciousness, the wonderful qualities, amazingly bewildering qualities of pure devotional service. And that's why pure devotional service is very difficult to understand. So don't think that as a grihastha you cannot do. You can do much better than brahmacharis many times. Because as brahmacharis, we feel, we are secure. I'm going, Baba, so many brahmacharis. Just by staying here, we go back home. Because Prabhupada said, just be in the train. But that is not the train. The train is not a gross infrastructure. One time, a devotee said, Prabhupada, if in future, everything, all your temples are lost, then Prabhupada said, do you think this infrastructure is Krishna consciousness? He says, no, my teachings are Krishna consciousness. And that a genuine person will read. That's why I want you to distribute these books as much as possible by hook or crook. So that in future, when all of you get deviated, some honest person will read and will start honestly preaching and rebuild this society. Just like Prabhupada did. The whole of Gaudiya Math got deviated and Prabhupada rebuilt it. Because he took to the teachings, the Jobonafe teachings of Bhaktivinoda Saraswati Thakur. And just one little note, evam parampara praptam evam rajarya shiyo viduhu sa kalene hamahata yogo nashta parantapa. Krishna has said it, so we should not feel, oh, why things are getting deviated, because Krishna has said this is what is my design. I re-established the principles, the parampara system, and over a period of time, people who wear dhoti kurta, who come into the parampara, get initiated, they only get deviated. So we should not mind that. We should do our business and stop correcting others and wasting our time. Okay. So with that note, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapuran ki jai.